we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for once again tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, and I have a confession to make. I did not make it very far into 2018 before I had accidentally written the year 2017. Oh, last year I made it quite a ways. This year I didn't even make it through the month of January, but thank the Lord it's not a fatal flaw. So praise the Lord, we are in 2018, and we want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program today. We would like to extend to you an invitation to come out to one of our services if you would like. Right now I am teaching a series on desires, and last Sunday I had taught on what some of God's desires are for you and I. This week we're going to be taking that a little bit deeper, so that it moves beyond just a wish or just a longing, that it is that we begin to strive for, that our desire becomes an active thing, not just a mental thing, to accomplish the purposes that God has for us in the Word of God. If you'd like to come out and be a part of it, our services are 10:30 Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have youth group at 6:30. We also have adult service at 6:30 on Sunday night. And this last Sunday night was absolutely wonderful. The only feedback that I've had so far was when I got home, my wife was not able to attend church on Sunday because of some things that she had going on last week that left her unable to attend Sunday. But when I got home, my daughter was recounting to her everything that had taken place at church on Sunday night. And so we're believing for good things. We're believing that there are going to be people who are saved in 2018, and that it will be a life transforming event for them. So with that being said, let's get into the Word of God. Hopefully you can come out. We do have Wednesday night services, family night services, boys ministry, girls ministry is adult Bible study. We have women's ministry that takes place the second Monday of a month. We also have men's breakfast that is coming up. I believe the date on that is the 27th. It's the last Saturday of the month. Our youth are going to be having a special day as well, coming up on that same Saturday on the 27th. So lots of stuff going on, and we're thankful for God's faithfulness. So let's get back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 today. Let me just start with reading verse number 1. We'll go down to verse number 7. This is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So let me go back and touch on the not greedy and the not covetous part from yesterday's broadcast. And that is, I don't believe that the financial package ought to be something that we take into great consideration whenever we are considering whether to step out and take a position of ministry or not. Now, I will tell you that not every church is able to support their pastor with the financial capabilities that really need to be there. My first youth pastor position, I found myself with less income than I had bills going out. And I didn't have much. I just had a student loan payment and might have been a car payment. If it wasn't a car payment, it was car insurance. It wasn't a lot of money going out, but there was even less coming in. And so the fact that you need finances, and I will tell you this, the churches need finances, radio programs, there are financial needs. And so we want to say thank you to those who help make this ministry possible. But it's not a greed factor. This is not a, this ministry here is not a financially, how do I want to say it? It's not something that's financially enriching Merit Assembly of God. There's a negative cash flow that comes into it. We're not complaining. You see, we realize that if we sow spiritual seed, that sometimes that's going to have a financial cost. If you were to go down and buy seed to plant a garden with, or if you wanted to have a farm, that you would have to go down and you would have to buy that seed. There would be a price that you would pay for it, and then you would receive a harvest later on in that year. So we are thankful for souls that get saved. We're thankful for marriages that get healed. We just want to be part of the harvest that God is the Lord over. So we're not here to pad our balance sheet. We're here to sow spiritual seeds into this community because I love Brevard County. I pray that every church in Brevard County that's preaching the Word of God is filled to capacity and overflowing. I pray that Brevard County would be known for a move of the Holy Spirit more than we are known for our space industry and our tourism industry. I think it would be phenomenal for the county if there was such a move of God that the crime rate went down. I think that that those are all noble means. You know, just so you know that I'm not talking just theory here. When we came to Merit Assembly of God, there wasn't a paycheck. When we moved to Texas, it was to accept a ministry position. It wasn't because of how rich we were getting. I think we may have got something like $125 a week or something like that for a family of three. And that wasn't that long ago. That was back in the 80s. That was when America was really booming economically, but it was a small church out in the middle of the country. You just don't base your obedience on finances. You base your finances on obedience. That's a pretty good quote. I've never put it that way. You don't base your obedience on your finances. You base your finances on your obedience. And so not covetous, you know, sometimes this is a little bit of a challenge in Christian circles, because you won't necessarily say, well, you know what, I'm going to steal your donkey. But I wonder how many churches have gone to other churches to get their staff person, say, you know what, we need your staff person more than you need your staff person. I know I just really crossed the line and got into practical applications there. I am so sorry. I belong to a Facebook page, and there's a lot of times that people are posting on there about things that have gotten stolen. You know what the root of stealing is? It is coveting. It is seeing that something that someone else has that you say, you know what, I want that more than you need that. And anytime you set yourself up or I set myself up as the judge as to who something should belong to rather than who it does belong to, then we have put ourselves in a coveting position, and we don't want to rule that. It is one of the things that is strictly forbidden in the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. This faithful saying about desiring the position of a bishop, it moves on into verse number 4, and it says, one who rules his own house well. One who rules his own house well. Now, I did a message series here a number of weeks ago. I couldn't even tell you which. I think it was December 31st, about various governmental styles. And one that you find in the Bible is anarchy. It is when every person does what is right in their own eyes. I want you to know that it is not a successful government model. It is not a successful government model. And so if you're going to rule your own house well, you can't be doing what is right in your own eyes. Every member of the household cannot be operating from that same mindset that, well, I'm just going to do what feels right, what looks right. That's going to lead to chaos. It's going to lead to judgment. It's going to lead to a failing household, not a successful household. You see, what is being talked about here in verse number 4 is that the bishop would be proclaiming a message that doesn't just touch heaven, but it has touched his own household as well. And so you can't have anarchy in the home. You can't have you can't even really have a democracy in your household. You know, I remember growing up that my parents said, look, this isn't a democracy. You know, you kids don't get the same vote as the rest of us. You know why? Because the kids don't have the experience. They don't have the wisdom and the expertise that goes along with the walk with God. And so parents and kids are not on the same level when they are growing up. And so you've got to train them in the way that they should go. You should be living your life at home in such a way that your kids are learning what it looks like to have a God-controlled household where the man and the woman are both under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And they see what that looks like, and it ought to be a beautiful picture. Okay. You also cannot rule your own household as a dictator. I remember when I came to Merit Assembly of God, there was a wise man. He was in his late 70s at the time. Oh my goodness, how time flies! Just had a little moment of personal realization there. That he said, the only way that a dictator can stay in power is by killing his own people. And I will just tell you from a personal observation that I have seen a number of men through the years who have tried to rule their households with an iron thumb, where they had no accountability and everybody had to do exactly what they said, when they said to do it, for as long as they said to do it. They ruled it under a very oppressive style. And I have yet to see one of those that has ended well. I've seen a lot of them that ended very badly. So if you are thankful that God is merciful with you as him being Lord and ruler over your life, how much more should we rule with that same understanding of how grateful we are for mercy? So I try to rule or govern my household and the church. Mercy is my primary gifting. It doesn't mean it's my only gifting, but I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I like to You see, Jesus believes in me, and let me rephrase that. Jesus believes in the God in me, himself, being able to help me to overcome whatever obstacle and challenge comes my way. And so I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ working in people to help them to see victory where they've only seen defeat before. And I have, on a number of times, received second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. And so I want to rule and reign mercifully. Okay? My situation at church is I want to show mercy there as well. Now, several years ago, a person said that sometimes the most merciful thing that you can do is move mercy aside and allow exhortation to get involved in the process. And that is true. You don't want to be so inactive that you are enabling a person in their sin. You don't want to be empowering. You want to be exhorting, which is a fancy word of saying teaching them how to get out of the cycle that they are in. So please don't rule your house as a dictator. Rule and reign by the word of God. That is what I would encourage you to do. Lead your house, lead your church, lead your life with the word of God, and you will be able to say, you know what, I've seen this work in my own life. It is really great. I heard someone say one time that a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. And I will tell you that I have seen God successfully transform spiritual lives. And I have seen God transform successfully financial situations in church. I have seen God successfully transform people's finances on a personal basis. And I have seen him successfully transform people's homes for the glory of God. And so I pray that every person that's listening, you see, not any of these things that we have talked about so far is one, it should be something that you say, oh, well, the pastor should live like that. The pastor should do that, but I don't have to do that. I think that, you know, that living a blameless lifestyle is a pretty aspirable goal. I think having a sound marriage is a good goal. I think being even-minded, even-tempered and sober-minded is a desirable goal. I think every person should have good behavior. I think that every Christian should be friendly and hospitable. I think that every believer ought to be able to teach a person that is coming along. I think that every person ought to be filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine. I think that we should not be violent and quarrelsome, but that we should be gentle and that we should not be controlled by money or by things, and that we ought to have order in our homes. I think those are all noble goals. It says, having his children in submission with all reverence. And so, you know, there's people that I have encountered through the years that, you know, their understanding of submission was, you do what I say when I tell you to say it, and as long as I want to say it. And you know what? My attitude towards my children is this. I'm supposed to equip you. I'm supposed to equip them so that they can be successful adults who will know how to successfully train their kids to successfully serve the Lord as adults. And that's my goal. And you know what has to change in that is my approach to my kids at the various stages that they are in their life. And so you deal with a baby different than you deal with a toddler, same goal in mind. You deal with a toddler different than you deal with an adolescent or with a teenager. And when they get to be an adult, folks, it is our responsibility to change the dynamic in which we deal with them at that point in time. One of the things that bewilders me, I guess I struggle with it, Because I was, when I grew up, I was taught that when you reached 18, you were legal. You were a legal adult at that point in time. And so I just assumed that when I hit that point, I had to start acting like an adult. And if you say, well, you know, there's also a standard of 21, and it's like, okay, well, at 21, you should be acting like an adult. The crazy thing that I don't understand about this world is that we label things as adult practices that that enable and empower people to act like juvenile delinquents instead of acting like mature adults who have overcome temptation. Okay? And so on my 21st birthday, I was like, I was sitting there just extremely somber and sober and said, well, are you not enjoying your birthday? And I said, no, it's fine. I said, well, why aren't you smiling? Well, I'm an adult now. I can't have any fun. And you know what? That's exactly the opposite. You know, as a child of God, a lot of times Christians go around looking like they're miserable all the time. And in all actuality, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You and I should be some of the most joy-filled people on the planet. So being an adult doesn't mean that you don't get to have any fun. It just means that you know how to conduct yourself. And so you've got to understand what submission is. That word submission, in the English language, it literally means under mission. And so I, as a parent, as a pastor, I've got to stay under God's mission for my life. And as I do, then it is reasonable for me to operate in such a way that everyone who is underneath my authority conducts themselves under the mission that God has for us. And so let's take this outside of the home and let's bring it to the church. And that is every person that works at Merit Assembly of God understands the mission that and what their part in it is, and they have to stay under that mission in order for us to be working in the spirit of unity. That includes the pastor. That includes everybody on board. And if we bring that into our home, you know what? It'll say, you know what? My responsibility as a parent is not to be your best friend. Now, this is younger in life. My responsibility as a parent is to do my best to equip you to stay under mission for what God has for you. And, you know, a lot of times the parents we all understand that kids are going to want to spread their wings and they're going to want to grow out beyond that. And, you know, sometimes they're going to fail and you need to be there to help get them back on track and things like that. But also, there are a lot of times where parents struggle with the letting go process, where you say, you know what? I have done what God asked me to do. Did I do it perfectly? No. Did I do it with the grace of God? I hope so. Did I do it to the best of my ability? I hope so. Did I do it in a manner that will help you to be a successful adult under the mission that God has for you? I pray so. And so a bishop needs to be able to operate that way. So that doesn't mean that our kids are always going to make the decisions we would make. It doesn't mean that they're going to make the decisions that we want them to make. But we need to be able to say, you know what, when it comes to doing my part of staying under mission with God and implementing what God has called me to do, I can do that. And there should be a reverence that is done with it. Having his children in submission with all reverence. I believe that this world is manifesting a great deal of the consequences of people who are making decisions outside of reverence, understanding the awe of God. If I can get very real, the Me Too movement and the sexual assaults and the harassment issues and all of that, A lot of that goes back to the fact that we have rejected a reverential position towards what God has instructed in His Word, where people are trying to redefine parameters where God had clearly defined parameters, and we rejected those. Males do that, and you know, society has done that, movies have done that, music has done that, and then we wonder where all of this stuff comes from when it starts manifesting. I believe that we need an awe in America once again. We need to be in awe of God. What if I conducted myself at home just in awe of the reality that God's even given me a home? You know, I was so excited the day my wife said yes to go out on that very first date. I remember the awe of holding my son that very first time, and holding my daughter, and holding my youngest daughter. I remember the awe of changing a diaper. You know, I remember the awe of my wife walking down the aisle. And so last week, as I was escorting her into the house, she was on my left side, and I was being there with a chaperone arm. You know, I had it, cocked to where she could grab hold on it, and she was holding on, and we were walking very slow, and I was doing the bridal march to her, because I'm just as thankful to be married to her now after 30-some years. I know exactly how many years. I'm just not saying there. I know exactly how many years. I'm just in awe of the fact that we're still married, as I was the day that she beamed like an angel. And so I want to encourage, I know we didn't get very far in this today, and you know, you say, how does this have to do with faith? Well, it's a faithful saying. And I want your home to be successful. I want my home to be successful. And folks, if we will do our part, we can ask the Holy Spirit to do His part. And let's remember that what takes place in our homes is just as much an act of worship. Maybe the most powerful thing that you hear today, that what takes place in your home, what takes place in your personal life, is just as much an act of worship as when you're singing songs and raising your hands, when you're giving in the offering. Let's live in awe of God. See you next time, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
True.